Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Battery-operated vehicles inside the city. We have been preempted to the state of Florida. So that's unfortunately an option that's not on the table. Electric bikes are treated the same as bicycles by Florida state law right now. And so local governments were hoping that we would receive some more clarification during this session, and it hasn't happened.
So Sam Abel, they're talking during the city council meeting in the city of Gulf Breeze about e-scooters and safety. And the basic problem you have is that particularly children, teenagers, are riding around on illegal scooters. You know, the ones that go very fast are just plain illegal. Also using them in illegal ways, even if they are legal. In fact, if they go fast enough, they're supposed to have, like, you know, license, registration, lights. You know, they're a motor vehicle. And then, of course, you have to be licensed in order to drive them. So there's all kinds of problems with people doing them illegally. But also, you have this problem of preemption and control and how much can you do locally in order to control these things. They had been planning to come out with a law. What they wound up coming out with was kind of a recommendations and then a study that they're going to look at this problem, so we don't really know exactly what we can do.
Instead, the governor put together what I'll call an ad hoc task force in order to collect more information, and then they have said that they would come back and look at it again next year. So in the meantime, I can only, you know, share with the council that you are certainly not alone. I think you're all seeing it in the news, unfortunately, but in these horrible accidents that are happening statewide, when you have, in many cases, young children who are, you know, violating the law, but they are riding these electric bikes without safety considerations. So, and that's, we just put it on the agenda to have the council have the opportunity to discuss.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole constellation of problems here, mostly that certain, they're sold, but remember we were talking, telling you that, you know, Chief Hawthorne at the previous meeting had said, these things are illegal and people don't realize, and it's bad for kids to be riding them. They're sold. You can legally buy them, and you just can only ride them on private property. You cannot ride them in public because they're not registered motor vehicles. You know, you think they're bikes. They're actually motorcycles. And that's a problem, and they're running into this problem of the kids riding them, and it's obviously very dangerous, and the rules have not been well clarified for people, and you think, well, just because I can buy it at a store, therefore I can ride it on a street or on a, you know, a multi-use path or something like that, and you cannot, and that's the point. And then even if you are lawfully allowed to do it, well, you know, are you doing it within the parameters of the rules that we've set as the city? And if you aren't, if you're a kid, what are we doing to stop you? Because we don't have a lot of enforcement alternatives. Maybe we need to go to the parents, right? Maybe we need to deal with them, because that's happening some places where they have the ordinance that the parents actually get in trouble if the kids get in trouble too many times. I think this is Tim Burr. They're not great. No, not the Kesha song. And no, not the... No, not the falling tree. But I believe Councilman Burr is the one who's speaking here, but they're not great at identifying speakers, and I still haven't learned all the names by voice of all of the folks at the City of Gulf Breeze City Council meetings. Any case, the point is he's going to talk about, you know, maybe we can limit the speed on the bike paths or on the multi-use paths.
I wonder whether it would be appropriate to take a look at what it is we're allowing to be on these e-bike paths. There's a 750-watt limit statewide.
What are we allowing on the paths?
We have a limit of speed. I wonder if there's not some way to say, hey, you have a device on here that can only go up to a certain speed. You get a sticker for that.
A speed limit.
And if you don't have the sticker, you're in violation of our city ordinance that does allow e-bikes, but only at this.
Yeah, so you could maybe have some kind of a sticker that goes on approved electric vehicles that are only capable of going fast enough that they can be safely used on those paths, and anything else wouldn't get a sticker. And if you're on the path without a sticker, you'd get a, you know, some kind of a citation, maybe a civil penalty, something like that.
But I do see every single day I see stuff that is alarming. Today, a kid going at least 30 down the mile, eastbound, feet up on the handlebars, just zippity-doo-dah. two kids going side by side, 30-something, who knows what. And on and on, we can tell, all of us can tell the anecdotes.
Every day, seeing people, especially kids, do things that are unsafe, going 30 miles an hour, feet up on the handlebars, which, truth be told, that's what we would have done if we had electric bikes. Right, John?
I confirm that.
Yeah, I mean, because we did it with our regular bikes.
Right, exactly.
And the only reason we didn't do it on e-bikes is because we didn't have e-bikes.
Nope.
But that's the danger, right? You know, kids standing on the crossbar on their bicycle doing tricks. Well, that's one level of safety, and it's okay. I mean, allowed, and you should allow it, okay? But kids riding 30 miles an hour on an e-bike, dangerous, super dangerous. And that's the point. You should only give kids the amount of danger that they're capable of handling. And we do not want a 13-year-old dying because they're doing some trick on an e-bike going 40 miles an hour.
So I realize that your team can't be everywhere. Nobody expects that. But I wonder if another adjunct to our capacity to manage this might not be a little bit more targeted enforcement in some strategic way that you pick, where we are capturing and guiding these kids to better stuff. But right now, it seems out of control.
Stop them and give them some information. I mean, look, there's only so many Gulf Breeze Police Department deputies. There's only so much enforcement you can physically do. But, you know, Gulf Breeze has succeeded at getting drivers to behave. Maybe Gulf Breeze, through active enforcement, can be a little bit more successful at getting kids to behave. Because if you become known as the place where if the cops catch you, they're going to take you to your house and scold you to your parents and whatever. But the problem is, sometimes the parents are the problem. Sam Abel's going to say that. I'll tell you in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Florida West. Did you know the Florida West Economic Development Alliance works to create high-wage jobs and private capital investment that grow Escambia County's tax base? Still rolling accident-free so far this morning. Also delay-free 90, 98, 29 all look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Back to the city of Gulf Breeze, the city council meeting. This is going to be Sam Abel, the city manager, talking about how, you know, it's all fine and good to punish the parents for the misbehaviors of the children. That may be all you have recourse to do, and that may be effective in many cases. But, you know, think about from the perspective of the teacher. When the teacher complains to the parent about the kid's misbehavior and the parent's like, I don't see anything wrong with that. You know, I mean, at some point, right, somebody's got to take responsibility. And sometimes the parents are the problem, right?
I do think, too, I think the majority of those on electric motorcycles, it is blatant because our police know who those children are. They make contact. In one case, it was a father who has one and rides with his son. And so
both riding illegally, by the way, because they're supposed to have all these, you know, like license and a license plate and all this kind of stuff.
And so that enforcement, I hear, you know, what you're sharing, but what can we do right now under state statutes when you have someone who is flagrantly, they've been made aware, and I think, and Councilman, you and I spoke about this, but, you know, in other places, if the police warn you and then your child seriously injures someone, then the parent is being held to the letter of the law and serving time. And so we don't want that, obviously, to happen in our community. But I think that we're definitely reaching this point where we need some stronger enforcement of, you know, abilities given to us by the legislature.
So. Yeah, what do you do when you go to the parents? You're like, your kid's riding this thing. Yeah, I was riding it with them. I mean, like, ah. So, you know, obviously the goal here is not to, you know, make people not have fun. The goal here is to create public safety and avoid the kinds of problems that can come from anybody using, basically riding unlicensed motorcycles that are not legal, but especially kids riding these things and being dangerous. Because, you know, God knows, if you drive, or if you don't, you see people doing all kinds of stupid stuff with these things, right? All the time. All the time. And kids doing this. Maybe not as often, but, you know, it's common enough. Look at, I mean, downtown Pensacola, they got rid of the e-scooter ordinance. Why? The rentals? Because people were misusing them. People would use them to do tricks and have races. And why? Because they're fast and fun. Because people are people. You know, so what do you do? Well, if enough people misbehave with a thing, then eventually you have to limit the thing. That's the nature of laws. You can give people freedom until they misuse it. When they misuse it a little bit, that's the nature of freedom. That's okay. When they misuse it a lot, well, you know, creates a problem. And you got to create a law that restricts the freedom. That's the basic nature of public safety. 619 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about buying a house, selling a home, both, very common thing to do. You want a good realtor, somebody who's going to get you all the way through to closing, not somebody who's just going to list the house and give you an update once a month on how it didn't sell yet. I mean, that's not it's a little bit of an exaggeration, but, you know, there's all different levels of competence, all different levels of activity, all different levels of success. You know, some people, and, you know, God bless them, it's great that they got their license and they sell a couple of homes a year and that's a little side money for them, and that's fine. And maybe that's your brother-in-law and you want to work with them as a realtor. That's fine, too. But you also have people at the other end of the spectrum, like Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Reinke Realty, who sold 209 homes last year. 4 week, 209. So that's a level of experience and expertise and market knowledge and dealing with people and getting all the way through to closing in a very efficient way for the best price possible, buying or selling, that has a certain value. And if you want to make sure to, you know, sort of get it done instead of trying, you know, and you want to work with somebody who's, you know, going to do the best for you, again, you make the decision, but at least talk to her and find out why. And, you know, she'll give you a realistic expectation of what to expect. And that's all you can ask for. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Reinke Realty.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us tomorrow at 9 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sonny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sonny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Whether it's the style and performance of the all-new 2026 Outback or the extraordinary mileage of the 2026 Forester Hybrid, your next Subaru is guaranteed to put more scenery in your scenic route. The iconic Subaru Outback has been completely redesigned with sharper lines and more edge, making it look as tough and rugged as it drives. And the Forester Hybrid, with a driving range of up to 581 miles per tank and up to 40% better city fuel economy, will let you hit the road again and again and again. Both come standard with Subaru's legendary symmetrical all-wheel drive to help you take every journey with confidence. The all-new 2026 Subaru Outback and the 2026 Forester Hybrid. Love never looks so good. Get your next Subaru at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, or online at AndersonSubaru.com. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
Summer season is here, and Florida summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on The Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10, and Encore Hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Blue Sky Landscaping and Pensacola Hardware.
You don't need another money hack. You need a plan. Dave Ramsey, weeknights at 7 on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
And what was your role in all this?
I was a victim, too. At least my wife was. She had friends who were socialists.
Clue is such a good movie. It really is. It's great. And you know, we just recently rewatched that. Did you ever watch the old Clue movie with Tim Curry and...
Okay. Yeah, back in the day.
Right, exactly. And then remember they get to the end and they do the ending and they're like, but it didn't have to be that way. And they do three endings.
Yep.
I love that. I thought that was so cute. So clever. 624 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. More airstrikes going on in Iran after President Trump warned that the Islamic Republic would be hit until it agrees to make a deal. They're not talking about the ceasefire anymore, so I'm not sure if there's still a ceasefire or not. The Charlie Brown kids would say it's the least ceasefire-iest ceasefire.
We don't care about these definitions, you know, firing yeah. back and forth. Well, I thought if it was a ceasefire, there wouldn't be any firing. Well, it's just a little bit of firing. Just it's not a, little, a lot yeah, of firing. Yeah. yeah, I mean, it's fine.
He's counting.
They fired first, we fired after, you know, whatever. Yeah.
So that's what's happening there. The 2026 FIFA World Cup kicks off today. That begins in Mexico with...
kicks off.
Kicks off, yeah.
Yeah.
Well done. Go on.
I like that.
Kicks off today. Mexico taking on South Africa in Mexico City. The U.S. begins their play against Paraguay on Friday at SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles.
I dare.
What?
If you want to start a fight at work today, you know, Paraguay. Hey, you know where Paraguay is on a map?
Leave it to you to
not
find
fair.
The confrontational things.
Come
not
on.
Fair.
There's like 200 countries in the world. Nobody can know them all. Go ahead, David.
Where am I at here? Hackers have hit Oracle PeopleSoft servers at over 100 organizations. PeopleSoft's comprehensive software applications manage payroll, human resources administration, and other business operations.
No big deal.
The hacking group tells TechCrunch that it... the hacking group Shiny Hunters, I'm sorry, tells TechCrunch that it's behind the attack. TechCrunch is not the hackers.
That's what I was about to say, boy. I was like, huh?
Shiny Hunters?
Shiny Hunters is the hacker group,
Which
and since when do hacker groups do interviews with media?
Which set of facts makes you feel more like you're talking about things that people just made up on a Thursday? Reporting on tech stuff or reporting on like music and the rap world? Which one makes you feel more like you're in La La Land?
Oh boy, it's got to be the rap
it's
world.
It's got to be the rap.
Yeah, it's got to be the rap.
Does.
Yeah.
All right.
$8 sign AP Rocky.
There you go. That's how he says it. Rolls right off the tongue. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Oh, speaking of that, I found a brand new horrifying thing out there to be afraid of. Tell you about it in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you, but if you're on 98 going eastbound right past the Navarre Beach Bridge, you expect just a few minute delay there. But other than that, things are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives. What are we going to be scared of?
You're laughing, Andrew. It must not be serious. I mean, I just laugh because I don't know what to do with it. You ready for the headline?
Ready.
Okay, you do text messaging?
Right.
Okay, everybody does text messaging. Yeah. It's the primary form of communication for anybody under the age of 30, and for the rest of us, we do a lot of it. I love the little report every week that tells me what apps I use on my phone,
mm-hmm.
and it tells me, you know, Facebook, 3 hours. Okay, the fact that it was open doesn't mean I was using it. Anyway, but it's always texting is like the number one app on my phone because I'm always texting with people, or it's open, you know, because it's on the desk, and that happens to be open, and it's clock is running. Anyway, that's like 10 or 11 hours every week, which I'm sure it's not that much. But
so wait, your phone calculates when the app is open?
I don't know how it calculates it, but there's no chance I'm texting for 10 hours a week. That's just not true.
Okay.
Seems very unlikely. Seems a little bit high. Anyway.
The real usage just, yeah. Anyway, iPhone does that for you.
Don't start with me, cult member. Okay, so the headline is, ready? Spoofed texts can infiltrate existing conversations undetected, security study finds. You know what a spoof phone call is? That's when somebody who's not actually from 555-1212, but they have found a way to make it look like that's their phone number, so they call you and it shows up as 555-1212. See how I'm depending on my old knowledge of phones?
You are. That was the movie.
Phone numbers that don't exist, right? Because the 555 prefix was always what you saw in the movies and TV, because those are not numbers that go anywhere. Anyway, so it shows up as that number, and you're like, but that's not my friend Jimmy. It's some robocall or whatever. Well, now texts can be spoofed. Researchers find email-to-text gateway services, so it's specifically email-to-text, run by major U.S. carriers have security gaps that let attackers send text messages appearing to come from any phone number, short code, or even a trusted name. Bugs in both Apple's iOS, John Pickens, and Google's Android made the attacks more convincing, causing phones to display fake sender identities as real phone numbers or recognizable names like, you know, Chase. Spoofed messages can be injected directly into existing text conversations, so you don't notice. It's the next text from Jenny, making them nearly impossible to distinguish from real messages. All four major U.S. carriers have since deployed fixes or shut down their email-to-text gateways, and both Google and Apple released or planned patches addressing the vulnerabilities. But, cool. So you got a text from Grandma. No, you didn't. Have you, as far as you know, have you ever gotten a spoof text?
Oh, yeah.
Have you?
Yeah, but it's not from people that I know.
Because they didn't know the people you know yet.
Right, because I didn't upload it.
I've that I know of, I don't think this has happened. But, I don't get a lot of fake texts anyway. I have the luxury of not having an 850 number. So it's actually very easy for me to know.
Luxury?
Oh, yeah. Because if somebody calls, so I work in the 850 area code, right?
Right. You're in the
850. But I have an area code that comes from where I used to live
right.
a long time ago. So my luxury is that if I get a number from the old area code, which is what my phone area code is, I know it's fake. Because any of the people that would actually be calling me from where I used to live, I know their numbers. So if I get an 850, I know it's legitimate, generally speaking, because it's, you know, the scammers try to target me with my old area code. So it's actually kind of a nice thing. My boss doesn't get me to get an 850, and it has turned out to be the best decision ever not to do that for a phone number I've owned for 20 years now, by the way.
News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. The United States and Iran trading a new round of attacks for a second day.
CENTCOM says Iranian military surveillance capabilities, along with air defense systems and communication sites, were hit. In response to these strikes, the Iranians launched ballistic missiles and drones toward Gulf countries, including Kuwait and Bahrain.
That's Fox's Trey Yings. President Trump locks in funding for ICE and CBP through the end of his term, arguing illegal immigration surged in the Biden administration.
I believe it was the most insecure and unsecure border anywhere in the world, and they allowed this open border policy where millions of people came into our country unchecked, unvetted.
The president yesterday in the Oval Office, and the Knicks pulled off the greatest comeback in NBA Finals history, rallying from a 29-point deficit to beat the San Antonio Spurs 107-106. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31. News Radio 92.3. It's sunny this morning, 73 degrees. We'll get a look at our forecast here in just a few minutes. Well, Pensacola Beach officially celebrating the completion of its largest shoreline restoration project in recent memory. On Wednesday, they held a celebration at the beach. The $35 million renourishment project restored more than 8 miles of Gulf shoreline, placing 1.5 million cubic yards of sand to combat erosion and strengthen storm protection. More than $16 million in funding came from local sources, including the Santa Rosa Island Authority, Escambia County, and the Tourist Development Council. The state of Florida covered the rest. Well, Pensacola Sports Association President and CEO Ray Palmer says the national numbers for sports tourism tell a story that a lot of people may not fully appreciate. He says those numbers translate directly into local economic impact for communities just like Pensacola.
339 million travelers for sports tourism.
Wow.
340 million travelers. 192 million room nights across the country in sports tourism in 2025.
So with all those rooms having a bed tax?
Most. They do in our community.
That's where we worry most.
But that's right. All of them have some type of, almost all of them have some
Which
type
supports
of
supports their local economies.
That's right.
And Palmer was on Pep Talk here this week to talk about it. And he says sports tourism carries a particular advantage locally because it generates activity during what he called the shoulder season, when the beach isn't really competing for those same visitors. He says Pensacola sports events happen in October, November, December, and March, exactly when the tourism industry locally needs the support the most. He also said that as Florida continues debating property tax cuts, sports tourism bed tax revenue could help to offset some of those losses. Baptist Hospital in Pensacola held a reunion this week for survivors of ECMO treatment, a specialized life support therapy used for critically ill patients. Survivors, family, and the care teams who treated them gathered at the Bear Family Foundation Health Center to share stories and celebrate recoveries. Baptist was the first hospital in the area to offer ECMO treatment 9 years ago. More information on that program is available at ebaptisthealthcare.org. Now, the Emerald Coast Utilities Authority issuing a precautionary boil water notice for addresses on Bayview Way and Scenic Highway following repairs to an 8-inch water pipe. Residents should boil water for 1 minute at a rolling boil before drinking or cooking in that area. The notice is expected to be lifted within 2 days. And more candidates have locked in their ballot spots as qualifying week continues. In the Pensacola mayor's race, Jasmine Brown qualified, joining Mayor D.C. Reeves, Ann Hill, and Jermaine Williams. In Escambia County, Joe Vincent qualified as a non-party-affiliated candidate to challenge District 4 Commissioner Ashley Hoffberger. Full candidate list is available at escambiavotes.gov. 6:35 at News Radio. John's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you or delays. Traffic is flowing smoothly this morning, even through construction zones. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Clear and calm to start your Thursday morning. Very warm and muggy with temperatures in the upper 70s. Going into the afternoon, highs climb into the upper 80s and low 90s under mostly sunny skies. Tonight features partly cloudy skies with temperatures back in the upper 70s. And then Friday, staying sunny and mostly dry with temperatures staying very warm and humid. I'm meteorologist Marion Caldwell with your WEAR First Warning Weather Forecast.
73 right now. We've got sunny skies this morning. Your next news at 7. Breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with your money now. Several key AI companies have announced major expansions in London over the past year as the sector races to secure key talent and build commercial revenue. In recent months, both OpenAI and Anthropic said they'd be upping headcount in the UK capital. Analysts told CNBC that access to top technical and commercial talent is a key driver. The U.S. has emerged as the top supplier of liquefied natural gas and liquefied petroleum gas to India in May. CNBC reports that the war in the Middle East and the disruption of the Strait of Hormuz cut India off from Gulf exporters. But India's gas purchases from the U.S. have grown steadily. Treasury yields were unmoved this morning after the latest inflation print showed prices in the U.S. moved higher at the fastest pace since 2023, while investors monitored developments in the Middle East. Yields on the 10-year Treasury note held steady at 4.5384%. Futures are moderately higher as the U.S. completes strikes against Iran. That's your money now.
From the FIFA World Cup to competitive business environments, grand ambitions lead to game-changing achievements. At Bank of America, we're there to support businesses at every step, providing insights and expertise to help you gain an edge.
He shoots! He scores!
What would you like the power to do? Explore winning business solutions at bofa.com/gamechangers. Bank of America, official bank of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
Hey, hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital. I would like to invite you and your friends to tune in to the all-new Pet Talk, where I'll be answering all your questions live on air.
Tune in today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Pump up the volume.
Business moves fast. Orders roll in. Deadlines close in. When you ship with USPS Ground Advantage, you can keep up with confidence. Every package stays in our secure network from dock to door. And with nationwide reach, dependable tracking, and upfront affordable pricing, you get built-in peace of mind. You run the business. We run the routes. Visit usps.com/groundadvantage to learn more.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News.
When I posted, Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson says he'll have to reduce deputies if the property tax referendum passes, and it had 1,700 comments. If 1,700 people thought it was worth their time to make a comment on Facebook, I thought I would share some of them. This amendment is another attack on home rule, Daniel says. Counties and municipalities will have to go begging to Tallahassee for anything. Definitely truth to that.
Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News. Listen weekdays 5 to 9 a.m. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
At the last TPO meeting, the mayor had an opportunity to nominate one of five of our county commissioners to the chair position, but instead she chose to nominate, and this gave me a county commissioner to that position.
Oh, Howard Steele, you troublemaker, you bringing up this very poignant question of why did Mayor Heather Lindsay decide to re-nominate the previous board chair at the Transportation Planning Organization, TPO, Stephen Berry, Commissioner for District 5 in Escambia County, when Kerry Smith is the vice chair and in line to be next? And why wouldn't you want somebody from Santa Rosa County to represent the interests of Santa Rosa County in the traditional back and forth alternating sequence of Escambia and Santa Rosa? Why would you nominate him to show up again? And I've raised this exact question. It seemed petty. It seemed personal. It might have been political. I think they do not like Kerry for whatever reason. Oddly, it seems to benefit Jeff Snow, who's one of the, how many people do we have running for that seat now in Santa Rosa County? It's 53, I think, we're up to now. Maybe not have all qualified yet. No, seriously, it's like 10. I think 8 have qualified, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, but so I raised this question, you know, Colton Wright raised this question at the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting. Heather did write a very long blog post about why she's completely right. And, you know, I don't agree with any of her analysis, but okay. So Howard Steele, she says it basically doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. Kind of like Hillary Clinton. At this point, what difference does it make? Well, you know, it's a difference of, you know, why do you have different people from different counties representing? Why not just make it permanent? You know, let Stephen Berry just be it. Let him be king of the TPO for the next 20 years. Why not? Anyway, Howard Steele says, especially again when you show up and complain that Santa Rosa County gets short shrift, that they don't get enough attention because, you know, your concerns aren't the priority concerns. You can't hold both views, right? You can't both hold the view that Escambia gets all the money and the attention and the votes and the power, and Santa Rosa doesn't get the money and the attention, the votes, and the power. But when it comes time to be the chairman, we don't care who's the chairman because the chairmanship doesn't matter. Well, it might not be the most important thing in the world, but it is an important thing. That's the point. So Howard Steele says, what gives? You got some splaining to do, Lucy. Or Heather, whatever.
I'm not sure what special insight an Escambia County commissioner has with the transportation problems and needs of the city of Milton.
The premise being that if you were going to make him the chair, then you would think because he's got special insights, being not from our county, which of course he's saying they don't.
But I would like to know what that special insight is. How the city of Milton specifically benefited from an Escambia County commissioner being appointed as chairman to the TPO instead of one of five county commissioners.
Any of whom?
Five county commissioners.
You could have appointed. Now, four of them weren't there, but you could have made any of them the chair, theoretically. Oh, no, sorry, excuse me. Santa Rosa was there. That's right, Santa Rosa. The Colton Wright was the only one who wasn't there. It was Escambia that wasn't there except for Stephen Berry. So, you know, any of them could have represented us. You're supposed to serve the people of the city of Milton, Madam Mayor. How was it serving the people of the city of Milton for you to nominate, again, somebody from Escambia to take this job?
So for the next year, the board, the TPO, is going to not consider the problems of Milton in their discussions, as probably would have happened if one of our own county commissioners had been nominated. And I have a feeling that this is going to be overturned. I have a feeling that the decision to move the Highway 90 widening is going to get overturned.
Yeah, and technically they didn't move it. Remember, they kept it at 5. They just leapfrogged Highway 90 over it. Would they say, maybe he said Highway 90, the decision to move that one. That one, no, he's right about that. The decision to move it, I do think that's going to all get changed. Several Escambia County commissioners said that. And also, you know, when we talked to Wes Moreno, he said that's likely to happen. So we'll see. The question is whether they would undo the chairmanship as well. I think they will. Stephen Barrett, I don't think he wants this controversy particularly. And he'd be happy to let it devolve to somebody else, especially Kerry Smith. But we'll see. You know, they actually have to have a meeting.
Now, whether the board position, the head, the chair, whether that gets overturned or not, I don't know. The right thing to do is for Santa Rosa County to receive that position, and it should have received it the first time. Once again, it's two steps forward, three steps back for the city of Milton.
So what's the answer? Well, you know, Heather's got friends who are going to come forward and defend her. She doesn't answer the question directly, but the Pitchfork Posse is there to help, and they're going to give an answer. I don't think their answers hold up particularly, but we'll get to that in just a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the 5. John, you love the Milton drama.
Oh, I love it.
You live close but not in the city, right?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, sir.
Oh, I live very close. Like, very I could close. Throw a pebble and there's...
You know, you obviously have interest in the city because, yeah. You know, lots of activity. They're just not a resident, per se. Anyway, go ahead, sir.
All right. Still rolling accident-free right now. Let's see here. 98, 90, all look good. Even 9 Mile Road is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. By the way, elections are this year. not to remind you of the obvious, but Mayor Lindsay is up for re-election, for example. So make your decisions. Anyway, there's two views you might take here. View number one is, well, you know, it doesn't matter whether somebody's from Escambia or Santa Rosa. You know, wherever they're from is fine as long as they do a good job. That's one view. It's kind of Heather's view, okay? Mayor Lindsay's view. The other view is that, well, we have a whole political system in this country based on the concept that residence, geography, knowledge, and representation do matter. So, for example, in Escambia County, we have 5 commissioners. Each one is from a different district. And we have a solo member district voting so that we can only vote on the ones that live in our area. In Santa Rosa, they have a slightly different system, which is that, you know, everybody votes for everybody. But we believe that you're supposed to live in the 5 different districts so that you get all 5 different districts represented. And people tend to think of Colton Wright as representing, you know, their interest in Gulf Breeze and Midway. And people tend to think of Ray Eddington as representing their interest in Navarre. And Kerry Smith as East Milton and so forth. And so the idea is that, you know, representation matters and where you're from makes a difference. That's one sneeze. There's going to be another one coming at some point. But the point is, you either believe that representation matters or you believe that it doesn't matter. There's that second one. And so if you believe that representation matters, then you would believe that having people alternate for the chairmanship from Santa Rosa to Escambia makes sense to make sure that everybody's interests are fairly represented. Or you could take the view that, nah, it doesn't matter where people are from. You know, they can live anywhere. They can represent anywhere. Everything's fine. Pam Mitchell, one of the key agents for the Pitchfork Posse and Save Our Blackwater.
Pam Mitchell, Milton, Florida. I just wanted to comment that Mr. Barry has been a very effective chair of the TPO in the past, and he also has been supportive of the Highway 90 project being moved up. He was one of the votes that moved it forward the other day. So, you know, I support the mayor's decision.
She's my friend. I mean, you know, they're aligned. And, you know, I'm going to come defend her so she doesn't have to defend herself. And by the way, I wonder if she will recant that opinion when the TPO meets next and they undo the Highway 90 move. If Stephen Barry is chair at the time, will she then say, oh, man, he let it slide. We got to get rid of him. No, probably not, because that's not the real reason that they want this, I don't think. I think it's political and personal and about Kerry Smith. Anyway, Jimmy Messick, Teresa Messick's husband, right? Okay.
The Mr. Barry has done a incredible job of running the meetings, conducting the meetings, like our mayor has been very effective in doing these meetings. So what the heck difference does it make?
Ah, it's almost a direct quote from Hillary Clinton. Okay. I love that. You know, everything's fine. Heather's great. Stephen's great. Everything's fine. Don't pay any attention. We got, you know, I love your reaction, John. When he said that, you said, what?
What?
And then Teresa Messick, you know, because it's important to stick to the talking points and to say them from several different voices so that it appears like there's massive support here.
Mayor Lindsay, I want to thank you for what you do, and I want to thank this council. We have so many great comments about how you get stuff done, and it's not yelling and screaming and fighting. And it's a shame when someone comes to the pulpit, I call it the pulpit because my grandfather was a minister, comes to the pulpit and starts complaining about people. It's nauseating.
Yeah, Howard Steele, how dare you come up here and complain like we complained for years about the previous board, and how dare you create dissension like we did for years? How dare you be a troublemaker and a dissenting voice? How? What's wrong with you, Howard Steele? I love the... I'm sorry, Milton is so entertaining to me. The Pitchfork Posse, folks, won in the election 2 years ago. And they got all their people in, and they swept out everybody who was a dissenting voice. And I have said this many times, credit where it's due, you won. You created... this is the group that stopped the wastewater treatment plant. You got rid of the old group, and you got in your group. Okay, fine, politically. You're very effective. Well done. I mean, that's America. But now that you've got a bunch of echoes, no offense to the existing members, but, you know, you've got a bunch of people who are basically all cut from the same cloth, six of them anyway. I mean, Gavin Hawthorne wasn't part of this, and Casey Powell wasn't part of this. You know, he got reelected without opposition, and Gavin was from the prior round of elections, so he's up for reelection this year. But six people on city council plus Mayor Lindsay are all Pitchfork Posse, supported, aligned. Well, the Pitchfork Posse now shows up and talks about how great these meetings are. Everything's wonderful. Everybody gets along. Everybody's nice. Everybody's in agreement. Yeah, because everybody's from the same party. You know, it's like the Republicans, with 75% control of the state house, if they went up there bragging about how everybody always gets along and gets everything done. Yeah, because there's no dissenting voices anymore. So they're bragging about how well, it's not that it's running well. It's that it's running when you have just one party is in control of everything. Is it representing all the different voices? Is it representing the different interests? Is it representing the dissent that exists in the community over certain issues? No. It's just the solo party. It's, you know, the Communist Party. Not that they're communist, but, you know, it's bragging about cohesiveness and civility when nobody disagrees with anybody. That's not a win for democracy. That's silencing dissent through the exercise of democracy, right? So anyway, it just cracks me up. How dare somebody come up here and have a dissenting voice? In the Milton City Council meeting, how dare, when you guys are historically the ones to dissent about everything, and when you guys railed about things that you don't like for years and years, and by the way, not to make too much of a point about this, but the Pitchfork Posse or Pitchfork Posse aligned people have historically been the loudest people about First Amendment rights and the value of dissent, and how dare you try to stifle me, and now, when you've got power, just like every other totalitarian viewpoint, and I'll say it, they are, you try to silence the voice of opposition, because when you don't have power, you want the voice of dissent. When you get power, you try to silence dissent because it's no longer to your advantage to let those voices speak. So, you know, sorry, did I go too far, John?
No, not at all. I don't know how people control their at the meetings, because I would be the one going, huh? Right.
Listen, Casey Powell's wife shows up every once in a while, and she speaks, and she's delightful. And she, I think she doesn't come to these meetings anymore because I haven't heard her lately. Because she just—it's infuriating. I mean, I have the voice to talk about it on the radio. I can go through this meticulously and play the clips, let people speak for themselves, and then explain why they're saying crazy things. But you know, I understand why she feels like there's—you know—what's the point? You know. These people don't listen.
Nope.
I sound like a crank when I show up. Howard Steele sounds like a crank when he shows up because, you know, he's the one person in the room that's willing to say it. Other than Andrew McKay. They hate me. I mean, vivid. That's okay. I'll take it. Here I am. John Pickers. Any other thoughts, John? You want to say anything?
You said them all.
Hey, you know, remember when we had all this conversation about how the Scott Collins, when he was the city manager, city manager, he was going to do away with all of the controversy and make that radio show and that segment go away. And well, that didn't happen. And to his credit, I think Ed Spears has done a really good job of you know, managing the city council and getting things done and realizing that he does work for them. And when they're all of the same party, he's got to do what they want. I mean, that's the job. Okay. And I'm sure they would say, look, Andrew, you even said our meetings are boring. They are a lot of the times. It's true. They are. That's what happens when only one party is represented. You know, one viewpoint is represented and you get a pretty boring meeting. It's not great, but it just is. So there's been less drama. But every once in a while, they just cannot help themselves. Good. 654 here on News Radio 923. What do you just... It's certainly entertaining. All right. Enough for the moment. I'm Andrew McKay.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Greater Pensacola's leaders are in the tallest buildings and smallest shops, and they come together here to drive growth in innovation, to bridge industries, to share fresh ideas, and to understand how they can play a part in Greater Pensacola's success. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
You're great at protecting your data, but lots of places could still expose you to identity theft.
I thought I was safe.
If that happens, LifeLock gives you a U.S.-based restoration agent who will stick by your side from start to finish. Phone calls, filing documentation, preparing insurance claims, your agent handles it all. In fact, we're so confident, restoration is guaranteed, or your money back. Isn't it nice to have someone like that on your side? Save up to 30% with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Bring the kids and enjoy a free family-friendly show at Hancock Whitney Movies in the Park. Saturday evening beginning at 6 at the Hunter Amphitheater behind Wahoo Stadium. Lilo and Stitch will be on the screen and food trucks will be available. Every Saturday morning, take your pick of fresh produce and check out unique products at the Navarre Farmers Market. It's from 8 till noon at Highway 87 and Segura Street. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Keeping you connected to Pensacola and the world.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Admiral, there be whales here.
Good morning, 6:56 here on News Radio 92.3. You remember after that, they actually demoted Kirk back to captain so that he could continue captaining the Enterprise for movies 5 and 6. That was after number 4, not to give you your history of Roman numerals or Star Trek here on the morning show. But, okay, let's see. John Pickens has traffic on the 5s-ish. Go ahead, John.
Okay, yeah. All right, so. All right,
fine, whatever.
We've got no accidents to report to you right now. Let's see here. Let's look at some delays. Well, guess what? There are none. Good job on that. I'm so proud of our people so far this morning. Well done. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
You're a good little driver. You're a good little driver. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
You guys are so encouraging. I love it.
Try to be, yeah. For everything but Milton. Anyway, go on.
Well, Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates is calling his meeting with Jeffrey Epstein a grave error in judgment. Gates appeared for a closed-door testimony before the House Oversight Committee yesterday, where he was asked questions about his relationship with Epstein. According to Gates, he never victimized anybody, also said he never witnessed or had any indication that Epstein was engaged in criminal conduct. A nonprofit group is hoping to begin construction on a new memorial in Washington, D.C. next year. Congress authorized the construction of the Global War on Terror Memorial in 2017, then authorized its placement on the National Mall in 2021. And NASA Administrator Jared Isaacman, responding to some criticism over the Artemis crew announcement. Apparently people aren't happy that the crew is all male. The crew was announced Tuesday and drew some pushback because it didn't include any women. Isaacman said Some of the astronauts may not have been selected because they're already scheduled for other missions.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Oh, one final thought about Milton. In case you missed it, we just had a Days of Our Milton a few moments ago. Andrew, why are you so, like, concerned about Milton? I just hate gaslighting. And I hate, you know, bad reasoning. And it's so entertaining historically. And I feel like, honestly, there are people who will have to be in those meetings, the staff, a lot of times, or other citizens who watch it and think the thing that I'm thinking. And like, why doesn't anybody say it? Well, my job is to say it.
Exactly.
My job is to represent the normal people out there who know enough to recognize, well, that doesn't sound quite right. You know, like, yes, it's not. But again, when you've swept into political power and all of the authorities basically represent the one point of view and then they gaslight everybody who disagrees with them, you know, somebody's got to say something. It's my job.